If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Talk.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
12 minutes after 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for staying with us. You are on Point of View. My name is Pimelo Mutine. As we continue the conversation, and as always, you're very, very welcome to give us a call on 086-000-0959. You can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. And that conversation with Musi Maimane is available and will be immediately available on our platforms as a podcast and as well as a video version of that. You can see that. And listen, you can also join us as well on X as well, at Kaya on Air. Now, you may have heard yesterday that Justice Minister Ronald Lamola has decided now, once and for all, that there will be an inquest into the apartheid-era death of Chief Albert Luthuli, which I think everybody welcomes. In studio with me is Chief Albert Luthuli's grandson, Mthunzi Luthuli. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to the listeners of
When the Department of Justice sent that through to us last night, I kept my only reaction was wow, and I imagine if I, as just a common South African, feels wow, what it must have felt like for the family. What did it feel like for the family?
Look, for the family, we also felt that wow, okay? Mm. But there is another sense in which this is a bittersweet moment.
I get it.
For the family.
You were expecting this back in 2018, were you not? 2019-ish, sort of, officially to start happening.
Yes, but really, we have been fighting this thing for more than 25 years.
Yes.
Since the TRC days.
Yes.
And there's been delay after delay, and the government simply hasn't paid attention to not just the Chief Luthuli case, but all of them.
Absolutely.
And so the reason why it's sweet, it's because finally it's going to happen, and the truth will be revealed. But the bitter part, you know, is that it's come so late in the day. Mm. A lot of the people that were involved in the murder, and I call it assassination of Chief Luthuli, many of them have passed on. Mm. So that side of it is bitter, you know, and the fact that there is no real good reason why you know, this thing had to take so long. But we welcome the news, and we're thankful to the government and the minister that finally they have made the decision.
So I'm curious. I mean, I suppose the suspicion was always there that this was a murder assassination. The story that was given by the government of the day didn't really land. Evidence pointed to other things. What stories were you told as a child? What was the story in the family about how he passed?
Okay, the government of the day said that Chief Luthuli was knocked down by a train.
Mm.
Okay, and they said that the reason that he was knocked down by a train is because he didn't see the train.
Yes, jaywalking type thing.
No, they said because he was blind. Or half blind. And they said that he couldn't hear it either. Okay? Now, as a family, we knew immediately that this cannot be true. Because when you live with a person, you know whether they are blind or not. You know whether they can hear or they can't hear. Now, Chief Luthuli was definitely not blind. His one eye was a bit weak, but it was nowhere close to being blind, and the other one was perfect. Chief Luthuli he was a preacher, as you might know.
Yes,
he used to preach and read the Bible in church. He used to do the same at home. So it's just impossible. I mean, even the community of Groutville in the greater Kwadukuza area, people who knew him, people who lived with him on a daily basis, knew that this was a lie.
Mm.
You know, a lot of them would attend church on Sundays and he would be preaching. And there was no Chief Luthuli who was either deaf or blind or in bad health. There was no such thing. So we knew as a family that there was foul play because those were lies.
And so how did you end the story when you told the story? How were you told the story?
How was I told the story?
Yes.
You mean by family members?
Yes.
Yeah. So, as you would imagine, Chief Luthuli was always a topic.
Yes.
In the house. In fact, it was always a topic even in the community. So from a very young age, you would, you know, hear the elders talking around you. And as your own mind matured, you start to make sense of things. And then, of course, you ask your parents and, you know, they tell you what they know. But there was one moment which was a very, let me say, a defining moment for me.
Yes.
In the story of the death of Chief Luthuli.
Yes.
I was with my father.
Yes.
We were in town, Stenger. And in the car, he looked a bit upset. And I said to him, "What's wrong?" You know, and he started telling me the story that he had just met a white man. Who walked up to him and said, "Are you not Chief Luthuli's son?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And this man said, "Wouldn't you like to know how your father died?"
The cheek.
The cheek. Can you imagine? And then my father said, "Yeah, of course I'd like to know." And this man, you know, before he could even ask him who he is and all of that, this man said, "How much are you willing to pay me?" Which was just... And so my father got angry, you know, he got really upset, and he told him to
bugger off, of course.
To bugger off, yeah. And so that's why he was upset. So he told me the story, and he also then later on told the rest of the family. But what was important for me with that story? With that incident,
yes,
is that one, it confirmed that in fact there was another story, another truth, the real truth, you know, to Chief Luthuli's death. Okay. Secondly, for me, that because this was a white man offering to tell my father the story. That this thing was linked to white people.
Yeah.
You know? And that it was either then just a hate crime or it was organized by...
And ordered, probably.
And ordered by the government. And I believe the latter. I definitely believe the latter, and I have reasons for that.
What are your reasons?
Okay. Chief Luthuli had, the government of the day, the apartheid government, had tried to silence him in various ways. You know, he was under constant
house ban
or, you know, he was not allowed to be in the company of more than two people at a time. And if none of those, then he was in jail, etc., etc., you know. Even when he was awarded the Nobel Prize, they didn't want him to go and receive it and speak to the world. It took a year for the government to give him the visa, and so he received it in 1961.
And he went to pick it up in 61 instead of 60.
Instead of 1960.
Yeah.
So the government had always tried to silence him. And particularly after the 1963 treason trial, he was under constant house arrest or, you know, house banning and all of that. But what happened in 1966 is that Senator Robert Kennedy came to South Africa. And, you know, he went to see different organizations, student organizations, etc. And then he decided, and this he had not announced upfront, I suppose because he knew that, you know, the government would try to put measures to prevent him from doing it. He announced that he wanted to go and see Chief Luthuli in Groutville. And, you know, and the government tried to stop him, but he insisted. And of course, because he was Robert Kennedy, they couldn't stop him. So he went, took a helicopter from Durban to Groutville, and he had a meeting with Chief Luthuli. And when he came out of that meeting, he was full of praises for Chief Luthuli. And he said that, you know, it would have been a mistake for him to come to South Africa and not talk to Chief Luthuli, because Chief Luthuli actually represents the voice of the black people, both inside the country and outside. Because remember, the ANC had been banned at the time and the people were in exile, but he was still president of the ANC.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that the government then thought, you know, we've been trying to silence this man for such a long time, and it looks like we're failing. People still support him. People still love him. The ANC is not ditching him as their president, even though they're outside of the country. And now a senior U.S. senator comes to South Africa and wants to see this man. And now there's news all around the world. His name and his philosophies, political philosophy, it's all being resuscitated. And I think they decided that the only way to silence him would be to kill him.
And of course, he died a year later.
Because he died a year later. So I think after Senator Kennedy's visit, they started planning to kill him.
Last financial year, I'm struggling. A BHP Billiton wanted Anglo for its copper more than anything else. And the copper price has gone through the roof since October last year. The more important thing is that copper is being shot away in two major wars at the moment, big time. So the copper demand is very high by the military-industrial complex.
David van Wyk, mining analyst and lead researcher at the Benchmarks Foundation.
With Gugulethu Mfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air. Call Point of View now
on 086-00-00-959.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Mthunzi Luthuli is Chief Albert Luthuli's grandson, and we are having this conversation because the Minister of Justice yesterday announced that they will be reopening the inquest into the apartheid-era death of Chief Albert Luthuli. And I say reopen because it was open at the time, and it came with conclusive findings that they say were, you know, there was no foul play and it was shut, case shut, and that was that. Of course, since the family has been asking government to reopen this for many, many years, as you say, Luthuli, and we're here now, which, as you said, bittersweet moment. Before we went to the break, we were talking about what may have changed closer to Chief Albert Luthuli's death and what may have informed what we suspect now to have been an ordered murder. It's important to contextualize what his presence was for this country, for the liberation of the people of this country, because until he went to get his Nobel Peace Prize, I mean, no one outside of Europe had ever received one. Big moment that this kind of recognition comes to a man sitting here in apartheid South Africa. But that becomes the moment where the world begins to galvanize behind the ANC, behind the liberation of the peoples of this nation. And if you don't see that, that the world begins to see the plight of the black people in this country at that moment, you probably will miss how significant it is.
Yeah, you are 100% right. In fact, I always say that, in my opinion, there are three major contributions that Chief Luthuli made in the South African struggle. Mm. So he became what used to be called President General of the ANC,
yes,
in 1952. Now, up to that point, mm-hmm, the ANC had really been, you know, it wasn't a grassroots
movement,
mm, you know, and he transformed the ANC in that respect. Mm. You know, prior to that, the ANC, you know, they would write letters to the government, mm, and, you know, to Britain and other colonizers, and, you know, there would be meetings and things like that, but it was not a grassroots movement. Mm. And he transformed the ANC, mm, to really being a mass movement. And that's when you start seeing the defiance campaigns.
Yes.
That's when you start seeing the women's marches to Pretoria, etc., etc. So that is the one contribution. Yeah. The second one is the Freedom Charter. Mm. A lot of people don't know the story behind the Freedom Charter. It was adopted in 1955. But the idea of the Freedom Charter, mm-hmm, was his and ZK Matthews. Mm. ZK Matthews, by the way, is Minister Naledi Pandor's grandfather.
Yes.
Yeah. They came up with the idea of the Freedom Charter because they had been traveling. In fact, what had happened is they'd gone to the U.S. Mm. and people in the U.S. had said to them, look, We understand what you're fighting, mm, you know, what you're against, mm, but we don't know what you are for.
Mm.
You know, do you have something like a Bill of Rights,
a document or something?
Yeah, that you know, we can refer to. And there wasn't one, mm, you know. And then Mkulu and ZK Matthews then decided, look, we need to do something about this. Mm. And there was a countrywide campaign, mm-hmm, to get people's views. There were volunteers, mm-hmm, who went around with notebooks and they took people's ideas about, you know, what do you want? And, mm-hmm, people would say, mm-hmm, no, we want decent jobs, we want this and that. And it was then all consolidated into the Freedom Charter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The third contribution is the one that you said.
Yeah.
That Chief Luthuli internationalized the South African struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly the world became fully aware, not fully aware of what was going on in South Africa. So, yeah.
It's the element of the grassroots resonates a lot with me because many may make the assumption that he becomes chief, hereditary chief, which is not the case. Mm. This is a man who was elected by the people on the ground to be an official chief, which states the point about how he was embraced and someone of the people of Groutville.
Yeah.
This is what makes him the chief that he became, that obviously became a problem to the government of the day when he started getting to politics, which is one interesting point. Mm. But another thing I think made him quite a significant leader is how he mentored other leaders, mm-hmm, that we, many of us, know to be great leaders of the ANC, of this country. And I think maybe we don't give enough credit to him for that.
Mm, mm. In fact, that is the fourth point that I sometimes also say, that it's one of his major contributions. All Oliver Tambo, Nelson Mandela, all of these guys, they served in his NEC.
Yes.
And his leadership style was such that, you know, he was able to groom them and guide them so that there was, you know, good succession. And that's and it's one of the reasons why the ANC was able to sustain itself for so long, you know. So and as you say, you know, that aspect of his leadership is usually forgotten, or you know, and it's one of his major contributions to the ANC and the South African struggle in general.
I wasn't there, you weren't there, but we have the idea that we are talking of an ANC which, in his era, was a much more unified ANC, which I think in itself speaks volumes to what they were able to achieve. We now speak of a different kind of ANC now, factions and all of that, but quite significant, actually, because probably without that kind of leadership, you know, it would have just ended very, very quickly.
So... I just want to go back to the point that you mentioned earlier that, you know, it was the people of Groutville who actually approached him. At that time, he was a lecturer at Adams College.
Yes.
To say, look, please come and lead us. It wasn't an easy decision for him. But, you know, eventually when he did make the decision to heed the call, he made a good job of it. But there's another lesson here. Chief Luthuli never left his community. He never left Groutville. He would travel all over the country, travel all over the world, even after he had been, you know, awarded the Nobel Prize, etc. He went back to Groutville. This is... another aspect of his character and his leadership that a lot of people don't realize that, you know, for our leaders to remain rooted, it's important for them to remain as close as possible with their communities, you know.
And I suppose then that it informs why you decided to build a museum around his home.
Yeah.
And be let that be the center of the community in a way which currently stands as a functioning museum.
It was one of the reasons, and we said, look, Chief Luthuli, because at the time some people were saying, no, you know, for visitors and all of that, let's build it. let's build it in Durban or something, and we said no. We think that Chief Luthuli would not have been happy with that, but it also had an impact. I mean, this is our home.
This is it.
It meant we had to move out and find other. But we were willing to make that sacrifice for the ideal. So the house actually is the museum.
Well, look, I don't, as you said, this is a bittersweet moment.
Yeah.
And maybe some truth will come out of this. Maybe. As you said, you know, many of the people we had relied on to give us some of these truths are no longer here.
Yeah.
And you never know.
Yes. Very quickly, look, I think the truth will come out. Experts, you know, scientists, mathematicians, engineers, pathologists, neuroscientists have been working on this matter. And they've all come to the conclusion that the story that was presented by the government is simply false. It's, you know, when you think about it, it's actually obvious. If you look at Chief Luthuli's injuries.
Yes.
Okay. Chief Luthuli had one big gash.
Yeah.
And the gash ran from the top of his head all the way down to the back. Okay. And that's the injury that ultimately, you know, killed him.
Yeah.
For the rest of his body, there was nothing really except for one or two bruises on his upper body. That was it. Now, if you are hit by a train, you can't get an injury like this. If you get hit by a train, you become mincemeat. You know. So... for us, that was one of the reasons, besides the lies about him not hearing or being not being able to hear or see, this was another reason that you know, you can't be hit by a train and sustain an injury. Just one injury, big one, on your head. And it's at the back, not in front, which means that...
Yeah,
and it corroborates... there weren't too many people in the area when this happened, but he had spoken to two girls just before he started crossing the bridge, because the incident happened actually on the bridge. And one of those two young girls who were school children said that she saw something coming out of the train and hitting Chief Mutuli on the head, you know. And he was pulled towards the train and then thrown out. Yeah. That young girl is now a lady. She's a nurse.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.